Thank you, my sister. One day when the quarantine of sin is over and our restrictions are lifted, Brother Zion, we will realize it's worth the wait. When God's going to roll back the clouds as a scroll and it will break through on the eastern sky. Jesus is coming, whether we like it or not. Are you ready? This morning, I've been summoned to use the chapter of John chapter 15 with you. And I will share this morning exactly what the Spirit said I must share. This morning, I'm just the postman. So if you get that bad letter, don't shoot me. Or don't release your dogs to chase me down the road today. You sort it out with the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. I'm just here to bring the message to you, and I trust God will allow His Word to talk to us. Because I believe there's a message for this time, and there's a message for this hour. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, I ask you in the name of Jesus, through your Son, who has made all things possible, that as we dissect your holy word, the sword of the Spirit, may it touch our hearts this morning. And if it makes us uncomfortable, Lord, we're going to give the glory to you, because you deserve it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have allowed your Bibles to come along to church this morning and have not restricted them, we will make use of them this morning in John chapter 15, a very well-known scripture, but I believe there's a new truth and a new something God wants to tell us today. So we are reading from John chapter 15, from verse 1 to verse 17. I want you to follow carefully in your Bibles. Are we all there? If you are there, say amen. Church, if you are there, say amen. Amen. We might be social distance, but we can talk. We are free to talk. Feel free. Say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All to God's glory. From verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can he except he abide in me. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If he abide in me, and my words abide in you, he shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit, so shall he be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue he in my love. If he keep my commandments, he shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. He have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that he should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever he shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Verse 26 and 27, I just want to add in there. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and he also shall bear witness that he have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is giving his farewell speech, so to speak. He has left the upper room in John 13. He's speaking to them in John 14. This is actually in the middle of his conversation with his disciples. And he's speaking to them in chapter 14 and verse 1. And we know that chapter so well, where he says, let not your heart be troubled. He encourages them, he believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, many mansions. He goes further in John chapter 14 and he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And as we go to chapter 15, if you read the last verse of chapter 14, Jesus says, arise and let us go. So they have now left the upper room and they are walking and the moonlight is shining. Desire of Ages puts it beautifully. Jesus is walking with the disciples and the moonlight is shining and he notices a vine. And he says to them, I am the true vine. But it doesn't stop there. He says, I am the true vine. But I don't want you to miss this. But he says, my Father is the husbandman. I've entitled my sermon today, Detachment and Attachment. Detachment and Attachment. Now, in order for Jesus to proclaim himself as the true vine, there most definitely had to be a false one. In order for Jesus to proclaim and show them and say, I am the true vine, most certainly there was probably another one. There was probably a couple of more. But not only does Jesus identify himself as the true vine, he says the Father is the husbandman. Don't miss this one. The Father is the husbandman. Now, if you look back, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, they all portrayed Israel as the vine that was planted, taken out of Egypt and planted by God in the promised land. But Jeremiah 5 says that the vine that God had planted in the promised land, his people, had no longer bore sweet fruit, but wild grapes. So the original vine instituted by God, his chosen people, had trampled on his righteousness, had become weak, had become broken, and their fruit was no longer sweet, but sour. And I'm going to jump right straight into the message now. How often Have we attached ourselves to the wrong vine? When I say this, the people of Israel believed they were the chosen generation. They felt they had special privileges. The Pharisees, even the disciples at times, would chase away the children, would chase away the people because they believed themselves as the vine and entitled. But God says, and Jesus says today, I show you something new. I am the true vine. Herod's temple was decorated with the grapes and the vine on the outer structure. Research even shows that their money had grapes on it. Their money had the vine imaged on their coins. They had gone to the level where they had expected to be saved because they were God's chosen people. Church of God, for 1 minute, don't believe because you're sitting here you are saved. Don't believe because your father was a preacher you are saved. Don't believe because I was raised in an Adventist church I am saved. Don't believe for 1 minute because I kept the Sabbath for 35 years I'm saved. Jesus says, I am the vine, the true vine. Israel had a problem. They expected favors because they thought they were God's special people. They rebuked the Gentiles. They shunned the Samaritan woman because they thought they were entitled to the kingdom of God being the vine. But God's original vine that God had planted, the Bible says, when Jesus came, his people received him not. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And my father is the husbandman. Who plants the vine? Who plants the vine? It's the father. Who waters the vine? It's the father. Who prunes the vine? It's the father. We've read this chapter. The father is mentioned 6 times just in that first 17 verses. So what is Jesus on about here? In verse 2, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. How is there a branch connected to Jesus that doesn't bear fruit? Desire of Ages says, a profession of religion places men in the church, but character and conduct shows whether they are in connection with Christ. You see, earlier in chapter 13, Judas was a branch that was connected to Christ, but he bore no fruit. But who takes the fruit away? What does my Bible say? The Father. He says, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. So as I can see, the vine is Jesus, and the husbandman is the Father. Therefore, Jesus is displaying to them in John chapter 15 that he is totally dependent upon the Father. The vine cannot grow without the Father. And the vine will not bear fruit unless the Father purgeth and prunes it. Now, Jesus is demonstrating to them here. Desire of Ages says, Christ in his humanity was totally dependent upon Christ. Verse 5 says this, I am the branch, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. John chapter 5 verse 30 says, Jesus says this about God, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So if Jesus can do nothing without the Father's will, and Jesus says we can do nothing without Him, if the Holy God who came down as a human realizes that He can do nothing without the Father's supply, who do we think we are? Church, who do you think you are when we say, it's my life, I can do as I please? If Jesus can do nothing without the Father, without Christ, we are useless. We are a branch that bears no fruit, which is useless. We are absolutely useless. Israel relied on their currency, and they put the vine thinking. Don't determine your value by what you own. Your value is not determined by your bank account. Your value is not determined by the car you drive. Your value is not determined by the job. Your value is not determined by the degree. Your value is not determined by your title. Your value is not determined by your culture. Your value is not determined by your tradition. Your value is not determined by your family status. Your hope is built in Jesus Christ and nothing else. If you don't have Him, you have nothing. And Jesus is showing here that the true vine is about the Father. He says, I do the will of my Father. Let's read it so you know I'm not telling you my own things. Verse 10. If he keep my commandments, he shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my... Hello, church. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So Jesus is showing them that He is the perfect example. If Jesus did it, you do it. The way Jesus talks, you talk. The way Jesus acts, you act. He speaks about the fruit, we will bear much fruit. The fruit is irrelevant if you don't have Jesus. The fruit is a result of you abiding in Jesus. Now, what does the word abide mean? The word abide means to be remain and stay constant. To remain and stay consistent. To stay consistent. What does it mean to stay consistent? It means that when I walk into church on a Sabbath morning, I'm the same man that walks into work on a Monday morning. If I can greet the fellow men at church with a handshake, but I can't even greet my wife in the morning when I'm angry, I'm not consistent. If I can tell my neighbor off for letting his dog run on my lawn, but when I come to church, I'm happy Sabbath, I'm not consistent. There's an idea that we have that we think, oh, just because I'm in church, I'm connected. But you can be here for 50 years and still be lost. You have to be connected. Jesus says, abide in me, remain constant, day in, day out, morning, evening, afternoon. When you talk, talk about me. When you think about me. When you plan, plan about me. Stop worrying about bills and school and work and what am I going to wear. Get connected to Jesus first. My Bible says in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Jesus is setting the perfect example in John chapter 15, saying, I abide in my Father's commandments. I have kept it. That's why you can keep it. That's why you can keep it. And he says, I am the only way to get to Him. There's no other way to get to God. the Father, but through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way. And on the way, there's no traffic. Amen. On the way, there's no toll. Amen. There's no potholes. You can't get a flat tire. You won't run out of fuel. Jesus says, I am the way. He is the only way we can get to the Father. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. If you abide in Jesus, you can ask him anything. Because you know how prayers are answered? Prayers are answered when your will is in line with God's will. And when you abide in him, automatically your desires become his desires. So when you ask it, you get it. You know, I was reading, Ellen White says something beautiful. Why do sometimes commentaries, you said, in Christians, we struggle with the fact or the thought of being a Christian seems hard. Why does it seem hard to be a Christian? And she said, it's because we attach to Jesus without detaching to our sins. We want to attach without detaching. Today I'm saying detach and attach. Let go. It becomes easy when you let go. If you try and pull these burdens with you, it's going to get heavy. Because it can't be difficult if Jesus says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He says, if you abide with me, you will have fullness of joy. It doesn't sound hard. But because we attach to the world and we detach from God, instead of attaching to God, and that's why it becomes hard. Jesus is saying in verse 3, I'm going all over here, but we are in verse 3 now. Now ye are clean through the word. How do we become clean? How do we become clean, church? Through the word. Ephesians says the spirit of the sword is the word of God. Jesus says, you want to abide in me? This is here. It starts here. This is how you clean up your act. This is your rehab. This is how you start. You start reading. Because that's how Jesus talks to us. Stop relying on YouTube sermons. We love them. There's nothing wrong with them. I have nothing against my good preachers. But don't rely on them. Don't rely on the pastor each week for your... You know, this church is not a fill-up station. It's just a top-up. You fill up every day, Sunday to Friday. That's when you get your meal. This is just a dessert. We get to fellowship together. But it's a daily walk with Jesus. So, this is where it starts. You read. You read. Because too often we enjoy... You see, this is the idea we have. When you watch a sermon, right? You are listening to someone else's connection with God. Amen? Right? So you are getting it secondhand. Right? You are getting it secondhand. But when you open the Bible yourself, there's no interference. It's Holy Spirit, direct, straight. No delay, no Wi-Fi issues. No need to charge. It comes straight. Don't need to log in. Don't need to sign up. You just open it. In a time where we're living with social media and technology, God is calling us back through John 15, just the way he says, I've kept my commandments, therefore you keep. I've kept my Father's way, therefore you keep mine. He's calling us back to the organic way. This is it, my friends. Read. If you're checking your messages before you've checked the message, we have a problem. If you're checking what the world thinks of you before you check what Jesus thinks of you, we have a problem. If you are thinking of impressing the world before you've impressed Jesus, something's happening. Jesus says, abide in me, remain constant, study. We are clean through the word, which means obedience. Obedience to the will of God. The law of God is not going to save you, but the law of God is going to keep you from falling. That's why the Sabbath cannot save you, but it can cause you to be lost. That's why we are saved through grace, and we are above the law. So when we break the 10, we fall out, and we need grace to come back in. So the obedience and the 10 commandments keep you safe with Jesus, because then you understand his character. Jesus says further on here, he says, "You have not chosen me." He says, "I have chosen you." So why do you want to live the way you want to live when you didn't even choose yourself? You didn't even make you. You didn't wake you up this morning. Jesus is teaching us here total dependence. It's either 100% or it's nothing. Church of God, in the times we are living in, Christ is your only example. Christ, in his humility, was dependent upon the divine power. How much more us, who are fallen creatures? Christ became our example. But we praise God that he says, "I will send you another comforter." And through the partaking of the Holy Spirit, we are in touch with his divine nature. Steps to Christ puts it beautifully. He says, Steps to Christ says that Jesus was closer to the disciples through his Holy Spirit after he left than when he was there. I don't think you heard me, Brother Zahn. You didn't get me that one. Let me try the side. Jesus was closer to the disciples when the Holy Spirit came after he left than when he was there. So now we have no excuse. Oh, that was Bible times. Those happened that time. You know, that was Jesus was there. Spirit of prophecy says now we are closer to him now with the Holy Spirit than when he was walking here. Therefore, you can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, if you do not have the Spirit, Jesus says, you are not part of me. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, he says, you are not part of me. So in order to abide in Christ, number one, you need the Holy Spirit. And how do we get the Holy Spirit? Luke chapter 11 verse 13. If an evil man knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more won't the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So how do we receive? Ask. You want to bear fruit? Abide in Jesus. Just abide. He will sort the rest out. And when we abide in Christ, we don't only show some of the fruit. We show all of it. That's why it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. If we read the Bible, it's the fruit. So if you have one, you have it all. If you have Jesus, you have it all. You see, Jesus does not have the answer to your problem. Listen to me closely. Jesus is the answer to your problem. You didn't hear me. Jesus does not have the answer. Jesus is the answer. If you are hungry, he says, "I am the bread of life." If you are thirsty, he says, "I am the water of life." If you are lonely, he says, "I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother." If you are broke, he says, "My Father has the cattle on 1,000 hills and he owns the whole world belongs to him. The gold and the silver is his." If you are lost, he says, "I am the good shepherd." If you need direction, he says, "I am the way." If you are looking for an answer today, he says, "I am the truth." If you are in depression, he says, "I am the life." Church of God, Jesus is saying something to us today. Just like I depend on my Father, you depend on me. Nothing is exempt from him. We like to departmentalize God. We like to say, "I have a spiritual life, I have a social life, I have a physical, that's my physical side of things. And I got my career life. Then I got my family life. It's either Jesus' life or nothing. That's why I always say, Brother Elijah, when you walk to the cupboard in the morning, you say, Jesus, what would you like me to wear today? Holy Spirit, make sure I present you in the best way possible. Because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I go to Coles and Woolies, and I push my trolley, I said, Lord, whatever I eat, may it glorify you. And may it be on sale as well. Hallelujah. What are you getting me, Chess? The vine, it's not about Jesus. It's about him depending on the Father. Because Jesus gives the sunlight. I mean, the Father gives the sunlight. The Father gives the soil. The Father prunes. The Father purges. The Father cuts off the branches. And he says, I do whatever my Father says. Therefore, if you want to abide in me, you do whatever I say. Stop looking to people. Stop looking to people for acceptance and confirmation. Stop looking to people for your assurance. Church of God, Christ says, I am your example, and you are my friends. You are no longer servant, but what a privilege to be a friend of Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs. Do you understand the privilege that is available to you today? Do you understand what Jesus is offering today? I think our faith is limited because we put God in a box like this. How big is God? If God can speak this world into existence, that man up to today for 6,000 years is still studying it. They can't even get past the first Milky Way. They still study. People have spent years studying the solar system, studying life, studying anatomy. Jesus is saying, I keep my Father's commandments, so you also abide in my love. He has chosen you. He has ordained you that you should go forth. It's time for us to not be dry branches anymore, brothers and sisters. It's about total commitment to Jesus. It's either everything or it's nothing. You know, we've been in lockdown for so long, the world is in a state where families are forced to be at home. But yet you would think home would be a safe place, but there's more divorce now than before. There's more domestic violence than before. So the problem was never the churches. The problem was the homes. And I'm saying today, give Jesus a chance in your home. Husbands, love your wives. Teach your children. Deuteronomy chapter 5 says, teach them the law of God. How do you protect your children in today's... Give them a good education? No. Give them the latest cell phone? No. Stop giving them the iPhone and the iPad. Give them the great I am. Jesus says to protect your kids, teach them the law of God. Teach them the character. He says, write it on their hands. Write it on their foreheads. When they wake up, talk to them. When they sit down, talk to them. Teach them the law of God. Make sure they are fortified in the word of God so that you and your children can be a blessing. Young people, don't be in a rush to get married. Marriage is not compulsory. Amen. It's not compulsory. It's a blessing from God. So if you do it, you have to do it the right way. God made marriage. Don't let people influence you. And say, hey, your time is running up, your clock is ticking, it's time to get... If your partner you choose does not bring you closer or help you get to heaven, it's not the right person for you. And don't force your religion on them either. You found them outside and you bring them in, so you force them now to become a Christian because you're here. Don't force your religion on anybody. So I was speaking to a young girl the other day, she was telling me about, she said, what do I have to do? My boyfriend is not a Christian. But But, you know, I send him messages about God and I talk about God. And I said, stop forcing the man to become a Christian. I said, you don't force your other family members that are not Christians to be Christians the way you force this one. What's the difference? Because we are always driven by our feelings. And what God is saying here, you do what I do, and you will be safe. Teach your children the law of God, and they will be safe. No matter where you go, you can die, you will know they will be safe. You taught them. Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, it's a naughty part. I always say this, you don't have bad children, you have bad parents. If the children are bad, it's the parents. Because I know when I was a young person, I was always on the receiving end of that. You young people, yeah, you. I said, hey, you didn't train us properly. That's why we like this. I'm wrapping to a close. Drawing to a close, church. It's time for us to get off our high horses and our pride. Bible says there's no good in us. Nothing. There's no good in us. And if your relationships, if your menu, if your dress code, if your speech is not in line with the way Jesus did it, you are a branch that doesn't have any fruit. And the Father will cut you off and throw you in the fire. It's time for us to surrender. Stop following tradition. Stop following culture. Stop following heritage. Read. Follow Jesus. Jesus says, I have done my bit, you do yours. How do we know that Jesus did the will of his Father when he was in Gethsemane? He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. But if it be your will, thy will be done. Christ has set the perfect example. There's no other man we can look to. There's only one way. You know, when the vine, the new vine, the true vine, when we are grafted into the vine. Who knows how the grafting process works? The vine is cut and the branch is taken from another tree and connected to this vine. And I thought to myself, when are we grafted? How are we grafted into Christ coming from outside and going into the new vine, the true vine? And it hit me. Elijah, it hit me. When Jesus was cut on the cross, when the vine was cut, we were grafted in. Because Jesus says, by my wounds, you are healed. I think you missed that one. When Christ was cut on the cross, and he shed his blood for you, you were grafted into his family. You became a branch. Connect. Let his fibers become your fibers. Let the sap of the vine flow through your branches. No branch can deliver fruit without the vine. And no vine can be sustained without the Father. And no way you can sustain yourself without the Holy Spirit. I want to make an appeal today. I cannot leave you there, just sitting there. Jesus is saying, abide in me. Detach from your money, your possessions, from your wealth, from your heritage, from your whatever, your studies, your work, whatever is taking you away from me, detach and attach me. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the answer to all your questionings. This morning, is there somebody? If there's somebody here that says, Jesus, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I want to pray for you. Don't worry what the other people say or whether they're looking at you. If you felt you haven't been connected completely, this is a personal This is a personal thing you have to realize with God. If you realize you didn't raise your family the way you should have, you haven't treated your wife the way you should have, you haven't been following the example of Christ the way you should have, the way He has followed the Father's example. And today you want to say, Lord, I want to abide in You 100%. It's either all or it's nothing. Christ showed His dependence upon God. Therefore, we need to show our dependence upon Jesus. Is there somebody today that wants to stand with me? I want to pray for you. Recommit your life to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. If you want to come to the front, you can come to the front. Let's pray together. Let's come. Let's meet in the front. If you'd like to come down, I want to pray with you this morning. Feel free to stand. Now, these are moments in our lives where we cannot let opportunities go by. As I wrestled with this message this week, I realized Jesus' dependence upon the Father, and it showed me exactly how my dependence on Him needs to be in everything I do. I need to read my Bible. I need to study. I need to follow, because the Bible is the one that cleans me. You know, in heaven, there's only a celebration when one soul comes to Christ. When they see converted hearts, they don't know how to handle it. They're losing their minds. Jesus is calling us today. Is there anybody that wants to come to the front this morning? I want to pray for you here as well. If you feel the need of Jesus in your heart this morning, amen, my sister. Anybody else want to give their heart to Jesus again? You might have walked the wrong road. This is a special appeal for those that want to give their hearts to Jesus again today. He's calling. He doesn't worry about the past. The old sour grapes are gone. Jesus wants to give you the sweet wine. He wants to give you the sweet wine of Canaan. He wants to rejuvenate your soul. He wants to give you the bread of life. He wants to sustain you. And He wants to take you all the way to glory. Amen. I know our time is against me, but if there's one more, I don't want to miss this opportunity. My dear elder, would you mind to stand with me here? With the folk that have come up, praise God. Praise God. You know, when Jesus comes one day, He's coming for those that look like Him. Believe it or not, He's coming for those that look like Him. If you don't look like Jesus, we can't be with Jesus. Because if you don't look like Him on that day, He's going to say, I don't know you. I don't recognize you. You don't look familiar. But when He sees you, He sees His character. He sees the fruit. He sees the years and the months you suffered and you clung and you held on to Him even when there was no answer. Jesus is the answer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come before You realizing that because the true vine was faithful to the husbandman, that the branches can now be faithful to the vine, and we can bear the fruit that You require of us. Lord, for years we might have followed for the wrong reasons. we might have attached ourselves to tradition and we've just come here thinking we were in the right place. But who are we, Lord? We are but dust. And if it wasn't for your blood shed on Calvary, where would we be? Bless these dear souls that have recommitted their hearts to you, Lord. And even those that are sitting in the benches, maybe they are afraid. Maybe they are in the valley of decision. I don't know, Lord. You know the hearts. I'm asking you to touch every home, every family, every marriage, every relationship. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking to cast out every evil thought, every demonic power that has tried to take hold of your children's lives. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke them. And I'm saying, Lord, give them your word. Help them to open your word daily. That's how you speak to us. Help us to hear your voice and not only listen, but to apply. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.